Chapter 34. I have very few memories of my father. I was about 6 years old when he died. What I do remember is a careworn, slightly stoop-shouldered man with kind eyes and strong hands. He was a magician. Not a wizard, a stage magician. A good one. He never made it big, though. He spent too much time performing for children's hospitals and orphanages to pull down much money. He and I and his little show roamed around the country. The memories of my first several years of my life are of my bed in the back seat of the station wagon, going to sleep to the whisper of asphalt beneath the tires, secure in the knowledge that my father was awake, driving the car, and there to take care of me. The nightmares hadn't started until just before his death. I don't remember them specifically, but I remember waking up, screaming in a child's high-pitched shriek of horror. I'd scream in the darkness, scrambling to squeeze into the smallest space I could find. My father would come looking for me to find me and pull me into his lap. He would hold me and make me warm, and soon I would fall asleep again, safe, secure. "The monsters can't get you here, Harry," he used to say. "They can't get you." He'd been right. Until now, until tonight, the monsters got me. I don't know where real life left off and the nightmare began, but I thrashed myself awake, screaming a scratchy, hollow scream that made a little more noise than a whimper. I screamed until I ran out of breath, and then all I could do was sob. I lay there, naked, undone. No one came to hold me. No one came to make it all better. No one had, really, since my dad died. Breathing first, then. I forced myself to control it, to stop the racking sobs and to draw in slow, steady breaths. Next came the terror, the pain, humiliation. More than anything, I wanted to crawl into a hole and pull it in after me. I wanted to be not. But I wasn't not. I hurt too much. I was very painfully, very acutely, very much alive. The burn still hurt the most, but the sweeping nausea running through me came in a photo finish second. My hands told me that I was lying on a floor, but the rest of me thought I had been strapped into a giant gyroscope. I ached. My throat felt tight and burned as though seared by some hot liquid or chemical. I didn't want to dwell on that too long. I tested my limbs and found them all present and functional. My belly twisted and roiled and for a moment locked up tight, jerking me into a tight curl around it. The sweat on my naked body went cold. The mushroom, the poison. 6 to 18 hours. Maybe a little more. I felt thick, dry-mouthed, fuzzy with the same after-effects of the vampire venom that I'd felt before. For a minute, I stopped fighting. I just lay there, weak and thirsty and hurting and sick, curled up into a ball. I would have started crying again if I'd had that much feeling left in me. I would have wept and waited to die. Instead, some merciless, steady voice in my head drove me to open my eyes. I hesitated, afraid. I didn't want to open my eyes and see nothing. I didn't want to find myself in that same darkness. That darkness with hissing things all around me. Maybe there, still, just waiting for me to awaken so they could. Panic swept me for a moment and gave me enough strength to shiver and push myself up into a sitting position. I took a breath and opened my eyes. I could see. Light seared at my eyes, a thin light of it surrounding a tall rectangle, a doorway. I had to squint for a moment, so used were my eyes to the darkness. I looked around the room, wary. It wasn't big, maybe 12 by 12 or a little more. I lay in a corner. The smell was violently rotten. My jailers apparently had no problems with letting me lie in my own filth. Some of it had crusted onto me and onto my legs and arms. Vomit, I guessed. There was blood in it, an early symptom of the mushroom poisoning. There were other shapes in the dimness. A lump of cloth in one corner, like a pile of dirty laundry. Several laundry baskets as well. A washer and dryer on the far wall from the door. and Justine, dressed in as little as I, curled up and sitting with her back to the wall, her arms wrapped loosely around her drawn-up knees, watching me with dark, feverish eyes. "You're awake," Justine said. "I didn't think you'd ever wake up." Gone was the glamorous girl I'd seen at the ball. Her hair hung lank and greasy. Her pale body looked lean, almost gaunt, and her limbs, what I could see of them, were stained and dirty, as was her face. Her eyes disturbed me. There was something feral in them, something unsettling. I didn't look at her for too long. Even as bad off as I was, I had enough presence of mind to not want to look into her eyes. "I'm not crazy," she said, her voice sharp-edged. "I know what you're thinking." I had to cough before I could talk. It made pain shoot through my belly again. That wasn't what I was thinking. "Of course it wasn't," she snarled. She rose, all lean grace and tension, and stalked toward me. "I know what you were thinking, that they'd shut you in here with that stupid little whore." "No," I said. "That isn't what..." She hissed like a cat and raked her nails across my face, scoring my cheek in three lines of fire. I cried out and fell back, the wall interrupting my retreat. "I can always tell when I'm like this," Justine said. She gave me an abruptly careless look, turned on the balls of her feet, and walked several feet away before stretching and dropping to all fours, watching me with an absent, disinterested gaze. I stared at her for a moment, feeling the heat of the blood welling up in the scratches. I touched a finger to them, and it came away sprinkled with scarlet. I lifted my gaze to the girl and shook my head. "I'm sorry," I said. "God, what did they do to you?" "This," she said carelessly, thrusting out one hand. Round, bruised punctures marked her wrist. "And this," she held out the other wrist, showing another set of marks. "And this," she stretched out her thigh to one side of her body, parallel to the floor, to show me more marks along it. "They all wanted a little taste, so they got it." "I don't understand," I said. She smiled with too many teeth, and it made me uneasy. "They didn't do anything. I'm like this. This is the way I always am.